Yeah, it's great to be with you and have the opportunity just to share with you. Greatest thing, as someone prayed in all our life, is loving you, Jesus. And this morning, I just want to, what I feel the Lord has given me is to talk about the power of the name of Jesus. The power of the name of Jesus. We sang earlier, Jesus, what a beautiful name. And it's great to think of that name this morning and to know that it's the most powerful name in all the universe. No other name is given but the name of Jesus to save us from our sins. No other name is higher than the name of Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. There's my sermon, that's it, okay. Right. Okay, yeah. Glory to God. Yeah, we're going to start in with a pre-Christmas look in Matthew chapter 1. Okay. We're not so far away, are we? Not so many weeks away. Matthew 1. And look at the name of Jesus. You know, the important thing is to look at the name of the real Jesus. There are lots of Jesuses in the world. There's even one who plays for Arsenal, I think. So we've got to look at the right Jesus. That's really important. Because there's lots of people going around calling themselves Jesus for all the wrong reasons. When I was over in Cambodia a few weeks ago, I went into a house, and in the house they have a meeting room, and there was a huge banner. And on this banner, there was right in the middle, you didn't have the cross, you had the face of a man who calls himself something, and he lives over in that part of the world. And around the face, you had his names, and one of his names is Appointed Son of God. Can you imagine that? A man calling himself the Appointed Son of God. He's very high on the FBI wanted list, by the way, seriously. Because of things that he does. Okay, Matthew 1, look at this name. We're breaking in verse 20. Joseph is wondering what to do because Mary, his betrothed, is with child of the Holy Spirit, and he's wondering whether to divorce her secretly. He was an honorable man. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus is the Greek form, of course, of the name Yeshua or Joshua. In the Old Testament, the man who God used to deliver his people, who went at the head of his people, God actually delivered the people by sending hornets ahead of Joshua. You can read that somewhere in the Psalms. God sent hornets. Can you imagine millions of hornets going in front of an army? What would that would do to the enemy? We had a hornet's nest in Cambodia once. It was right on the roof of our house, on the board, what do you call it, the flashboard or whatever. It was huge. I mean, as big as two footballs put together. And I didn't like the look of it because it was right outside our bedroom. So I said to the local, what do you do? And they said, just don't touch it. Which was very good advice, so we didn't touch it. But the interesting thing was, for those of you who are interested in hornets, once hornets have nested at your house, they will never return again. That's good, isn't it? That's really good news. Yeah, so God, hallelujah, that's not what we're talking about. God God made hornets, and he made them for a purpose. And that was one of his purposes, to drive his enemies out of the land so that his people could just walk in and take over. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is God incarnate, God manifest in the flesh, has driven all of our enemies out of the land. Hallelujah. So that we can walk into our inheritance in Jesus and live as free people, knowing him, loving him, loving that beautiful name. And the first thing I want to talk about the power of the name of Jesus is this morning, is that he has come to save us from our sins. The name of Jesus, he shall save his people. Savior, Yeshua means Savior. God is Savior. What does he save us from? He saves us from our sins. Because sin is the biggest problem of the human race. Sin is the biggest problem of the human race. It's not global warming, it's not climate change. It's not war in Europe, horrible though that is. It's not what might happen, it's sin. And God has to put away sin by his own power, and he's done it by the death of his Son, first of all, in that Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself, Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, God manifest in the flesh, God and man in one person, perfectly God, perfectly man, gave himself for you and me on the cross of Calvary to deliver us from our sins. He bore your sins in his own body on the tree. And if you do wake up thinking, feeling despondent, just take a look at Jesus on the tree for you. Take a look at Jesus. I find it very refreshing to go and take a look at Jesus when I'm feeling down. Another good thing to do, we were singing about the faithfulness of God there. And this, I heard this when I was a young Christian, and it blessed me so much, and I found it to be true. Is if you're feeling down, just go to Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of something that God did for you every month of the year that's just passing. So January, February, Lord, what did you do for me in January? And the Holy Spirit will remind you of something that he did for you in January. He will. He's faithful in that way. God is so, so good. I recommend that just as something to try and exercise. To try. Jesus shall save us from our sins. First of all, he bore our sins away in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter 2:24. And he not only dealt with our sins that we have committed, our sins that we may commit in the future before we see him face to face. He has also dealt with the power of sin over us. Glory to his name. John chapter 8. If you want to go with me, come with me. John chapter 8 verse 32, Jesus is talking to some people and he says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And they say to him, we've never been slaves, although at that time they were actually under the occupation of the Roman Empire. And Jesus said, I'm not talking about being slaves in the physical sense. He didn't actually say that, but he said in verse 34, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And that's the worst form of human slavery. All human slavery is evil, but that is the worst form of all, because it embraces the whole of mankind, every tribe, tongue and nation. But Jesus said this, if you know the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. This is why God has given us his word, so that we can receive his truth day by day. Whenever we have opportunity just to look into his word daily, or to come together like this and listen to his word and feel his word washing us, cleansing us, making us clean. Jesus cleanses the church by the washing of water by the word. So as we sing the word, as we pray the word, as we listen to the word, the washing of the Holy Spirit is coming to us, and it is washing us inwardly from those things that maybe during the week past have defiled us, have dirtied our feet. Okay, we've bathed, we've received from Jesus the washing of regeneration by the Holy Spirit, but we still walk in a filthy world. And there are times when we have to wash our feet. And the Jesus says, but Jesus comes and he says, my truth, my word will set you free. Liberation comes through believing what Jesus says and not the lies of the devil. The devil's always telling us lies, isn't he? We wake up in the morning and the first thing we hear is, you're useless. You're nobody. Who are you? And so on and so forth. And maybe you have a black oppressive feeling over you. Well, that's the lie of the devil as well. And the thing to do is to speak the truth of God. Speak the truth of God. I am a child of God. I have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. God has adopted me into his family. God has made me his own. You know, once somebody asked me, if I can find the paper, this was in Cambodia. The wife of an elder there asked, she wasn't a believer, she still isn't, but she asked her husband, what have we received from God since you first believed in Jesus Christ? He was one of the first believers in his whole area. Okay, what have you received? And I wrote a few things down for his encouragement. So I'll just read them to you very quickly. Okay, what have we received? We've received grace. We've all received grace, the loving kindness of God coming to us in Jesus, letting us, helping us to hear the good news. First of all, salvation from sin and hell, forgiveness of sins, everlasting life as a gift. We now have a Father in heaven. We're adopted into his family. The Son has gone ahead to prepare an inheritance for us there. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and moved into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been brought into the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the power of God, we have the Holy Spirit as our protector, our guide, and the one who strengthens us every day. We've received an understanding from Holy Scripture. We have a reward waiting for us in heaven. We have the promise of glory, honor, and immortality when Jesus returns. We have been delivered from the wrath to come. We've been delivered from judgment. We have received a new family, the household of God. We've received a kingdom of love and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. We've received the righteousness of God by Jesus Christ, all because Jesus died on the cross for us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to his name. Doesn't that make you feel good?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And there's tons more than that. There's tons more, which I'm sure you can all add to. Anyway, that was just a taste. So when you feel down in the morning, just remind yourself what God has done for you. You're a child of God. You're adopted into his family. Hallelujah. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Praise God. The power of the name of Jesus is to deliver us from sin. Verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If Jesus makes us free from the power and dominion of sin, we are free indeed. Romans chapter 6 has this wonderful word for us. We're not going to spend much time there, but just to remind ourselves that the Son has made us free. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 says this, our old man, knowing this, do we know this? Do we know this? Our old man, the old man of sin, the old man who used to rule over us with an iron fist, was crucified with Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. In other words, Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, he took us into his own death. And there he destroyed the man of sin, that ruling principle in mankind that governs all mankind that we're born into from our natural parents, but we receive as a spiritual inheritance from Adam. Jesus took us into himself on the cross to put to death that principle. Verse 11 says this, likewise you also reckon yourselves, okay, believe this to be true, to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dead to sin. Dead to sin. Have you reckoned that? Have you taken it as a faith fact that you are dead to sin? That sin should not rule over you anymore? That's not to say we'll never sin again. Definitely not. Absolutely not. But it's saying that that power, that gripping power, that ruling mastery of sin should not be ruling over us anymore when we've come to know Jesus and we're listening to his word, receiving his word. Jesus put to death that old man to death. Now we have to cooperate with Jesus in the putting to death as well. Again, in the same chapter, Paul says this, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. In other words, we can let it reign if we don't obey the word of God. If we don't listen to what God is saying, if we don't reckon ourselves to be dead. And also he says, don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Okay, in other words, don't give yourself to anything that you know doesn't please God. Anything that smells of darkness, anything that smells a bit off, that's bad, gone bad. Don't give yourself to that, but instead give yourself to God. Make a present of yourself to Jesus. Give yourself to Jesus. Here, Jesus, here's my mind. Please use my mind. Let my mind be a place where you can delight in today. Lord, here are my hands. Here are my feet. Here's my tongue. Lord, please, Lord, every bit of me, use me for your glory. In whatever small way you want to use me today, or in whatever bigger way you might want to use me. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. What is grace? Oh, we heard about it earlier. Grace is a charming sound that falls upon the ear. Grace is God's kindness to us. That is the air we breathe. It's the air we breathe. It's the food we eat. It's the sleep we sleep. It's God's grace covering us, being with us, his loving kindness, his care, his faithfulness, that's his grace to us every day. The power of the name of Jesus has come to set us free from sin. Go to Acts now, in chapter 2, pick up a verse there and then chapter 3. Okay, Acts chapter 2, the power of the name of Jesus, hallelujah, is to heal and deliver from the devil. The power of the name of Jesus is to heal and deliver from the devil. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Okay. Good. Good. It's always good to be focused. You know, yesterday I was talking about the goodness of God. We had our grandsons with us, and that's a great blessing. And anyway, we took them to the park, and one of them jumped on a rock and fell off and banged his knee. And he was, you know, he thought he'd broken a leg, at the very least. But anyway, he hadn't, thankfully. He just banged his knee. And when we got home, he was on my lap and I was stroking his knee. And he turned to me with a big smile and he said, "Grandad, that's the wrong knee." Sorry. Anyway. We're talking about the power of the name of Jesus to heal. Yes. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, isn't that a wonderful name? Jesus of Nazareth. Actually, in the Greek it says Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus the Nazarene. He lived in a real place. God came down to earth and he lived in a real place in a real time. And he was as real as you and me. And he did a job for 20 years, probably 15 years at least. He worked with his hands. And he lived among people. And then he did his work of redemption, 3.5 years, culminating in the final work of the cross, which was the reason he came. But he was attested by God, demonstrated to be what he said he was. That's what the Greek verb means. He was attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. And Peter goes on to talk. Here's a man attested by God. And then in chapter 3, there's a man who's been crippled from birth. And he sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, verse 3 of chapter 3, and fixing his eyes, and he was asking them for money, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Hallelujah, that's his full name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's a very powerful name. The name of Jesus is always powerful, but Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the full title which we use when, when God wants us to use it. And here Peter says, it's not in my name, it's the name of this man, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. From a locality, from a particular place. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? Well, he spoke the name of Jesus to this man and grabbed him by the arm, lifted him up, and he actually commanded him to walk. Rise up and walk is an imperative. Okay? He commanded him to walk. Rise up, walk. And he did. That was the attestation. That's the power of the name of Jesus. Do we know the power of the name of Jesus today like that? Jesus conferred his power on 120 of his followers who were gathered together for prayer, and then on 3,000 when the gospel was preached in the open air shortly after. And why should not we receive that same conferring of the power of God on our lives? If you're hungry for a deeper knowledge of God, deeper experience of the Lord in your life, ask him. Jesus said, ask and receive. How much more will that your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Have you asked him today to fill you with his Holy Spirit today? Maybe you were filled a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, 40 years ago. Jesus says, today, here we read, Jesus, in the next chapter we'll read about it. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit again, pretty much the next day. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Holy Spirit is God's command to us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to come and be our enabling and to do these works through us. I was in Cambodia, this is 10 years ago now, and I discovered the power of the name of Jesus to heal. A young man was carried by his father on his back for about 30 kilometers to come to a local medical center where there was no doctor and there were hardly any medicines, maybe a paramedic, that was all that was there. It was a long way up country, very near Laos. And he was brought his son, who was about 12 or 13, looked much younger because hill tribe people are small and they don't get much nourishment. Anyway, the boy was dying. He's dying of an unknown illness that looked like polio. He was not dying up jung, which means dead arm, dead leg. So one side, his arm was paralyzed, the other side, his leg. So they thought it was polio, and he was unconscious. And anyway, his father, who wasn't a Christian, had brought him into town, and he said, please, can you call the pastor? Because this son had come to a meeting, a mini conference we had there a few months before, and he'd responded to Jesus. He's responded to Jesus. Yeah, I remember seeing him in the meeting with his best blue shirt on and lifting his hands to the Lord. And anyway, this was the boy. And so the pastor came and found me. We were in the town at the time, and we prayed for him, and we asked God to spare his life that night. And God spared his life that night. And we went back the next day, and his father said he's going cold from the feet up, and it's on his legs now, but when it reaches his chest, he'll die. This is the illness we have in our tribe. So we prayed again, and we rebuked the spirit of death in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and the boy lived. Hallelujah. And he's alive today. And I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and his father has just gone to be with the Lord. His father came to the Lord because he saw the love that Christians showed to his son in other places. And anyway, his father has just gone to be with the Lord, and he was the elder of the tribe in the church. And now his son is regarded very highly by other Christians. Praise God, the power of the name of Jesus. Glory to his wonderful name. Let's go over to chapter 4. And we sang this earlier. Chapter 4. And Peter's life is on the line here. And he says, he's in front of those who organized the judicial execution of Jesus. And we'll read from verse 8, chapter 4, Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, hallelujah, but he loves saying that, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, I bet he loves saying that too, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven, given among men by which we must be saved. Oh, what a wonderful declaration of the truth that is, isn't it? And this is why we're here. This is why we're here. We're to declare the name of Jesus to all who we meet as opportunity arises. Not every person on every street and every minute of the day, but as God gives us opportunity, there we have this wonderful name to declare. Jesus. Jesus, the name high over all. Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given. It scatters all their guilty fear and lifts their heart to heaven. Hallelujah. Wonderful name of Jesus. It's a comforting name. It's a blessed name. And it's a name. No other name is given. No other name. Oh, wonderful. This is great, isn't it? Jesus is the only one who can save anybody. I have another piece of paper here. If I can find it. This is from the Reverend Handley Moore. If you ever get a hold of any of his books, they're great. The unchangeable message. What is it which we go and carry to the heathen world or the non-Christian world in our own person or in the persons of our near and dear ones? It is not primarily an idea, a philosophy, a philanthropy, or a code of laws. It is not primarily even a church. It is to bear a name in which resides the life eternal. A name such that the human spirit coming to him who carries it and committing himself to it in that impact finds the life eternal in its fullness of pardon and holiness and heaven. Hallelujah. Have you had the impact of that name on your life yet? Does that name mean everything to you today? Does that name ring in your heart like a fragrance? I smell the odors of his name, and all wrapped up in love I am. Peter declared the wonder of that name, and that there is a power in that name to keep us safe. God kept Peter safe here. Peter had his trouble later in the chapter, and later in Acts he had lots of troubles, but God kept him safe. We met a man called Savet out in Cambodia a few years ago, so it's going back about 7 years. And when he was a young boy, a missionary gave him a tract, and it talked about the God who created the world and Jesus. And he read the tract, and he loved what was written in it. It's a good thing to give out tracts. And he took it home to his mother, and he said, look what this man gave to me. You read it, Mum. And his mother read it, and then she tore it to pieces in front of his eyes and said, you must never speak of these things again. Okay, so he didn't. But then when not very long after, the Khmer Rouge took over his country, and life became hell on earth for people in his village. And 3 years later, the Vietnamese army swept into his village, and they began to fight the Khmer Rouge. And they started driving them out, and everybody started running because there was a battle raging around their heads. And this boy was still in the village, and he started running like everybody else. And he said, people were being killed. He told us this personally, okay, personal testimony. People were being killed here and there all around me. And as I ran, I called on the name of Buddha, but nothing happened. And I called on the name of Mohammed, and nothing happened. There are Muslims in Cambodia as well as Buddhists. And then he said, I remembered the story that I read in the piece of paper, and I called on the name of the God. Jesus. And he said, I felt an invisible umbrella coming over me. And it protected me from all the bullets. And he got to a refugee camp, and he believed in Jesus in the refugee camp. He heard more about Jesus. There's a little church there. That's not the end of the story. In his village, a lot of his family had been killed by Khmer Rouge. And in that refugee camp, he gave his heart to the Lord, and he walked out of the church, and he met one of the men who'd done it. And he said to the Lord, can I just deal with this man and then I'll follow you? And the Lord said to him, I've forgiven you so much. Now you need to forgive him. And he did. The man couldn't run away. He'd trodden on a landmine, only had one leg. But that brother surveyed, he forgave his mortal enemy because the name of Jesus had become real to him. Praise the name of the Lord. Last of all, I just want to read some verses in Philippians, which speak of the glory of that name. The glory of the name of Jesus. You know the verses very well. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Glory to his holy name. Amen.